Yes, I am.
Now, we do you want to
National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Natalie Mandelblatt and Eleanor Leiner interviewing Miss Rose Hartz for the second hour, January 19, 1976.
There's a very, very important aspect of my life that I think is important that I should mention now. My younger sister, Esther, was office manager of Ben Swinger Haston Herzog. She is highly organized in everything she does, and she has played such an important part in my life that I feel that this is, I want to mention this. When I started to teach, I thought what I earned then was so much money, and I just couldn't spend it fast enough. And this went on for a while until my younger sister, who is highly organized and so effective in everything she does, she said, "This is the end. This has got to stop about my extravagance." And so from then on, she doled out to me what I could spend of my money. And I would not have today what I have if it were not for my dear sister Esther. Not only that, but she is, she has such good sense, and she is such a good thinker. And so many of the things that I have done have always been discussed with her. And she is more, really, so much more mature in so many ways and so such a good thinker that I just can't say enough about her, what she's meant to me.
Does she still work for Ben Swinger Haston?
No, she retired. And since both of us retired, we we're members of Dr. Freehoff's bookbinding class. And it's a small group, and Dr. Freehoff wants to keep it small. And it's just a wonderful morning that we spend every Tuesday, and the things that we have learned. And of course, the pro of the class is Harriet Cohen.
What, in fact, do you do in your bookbinding class?
We bind books. We have learned to bind books.
Do you take?
You can take a book that's falling apart, and you. You learn how to put it together again, and of course there are various steps. Now, I mention Harriet particularly because Harriet, on occasion, goes to New York, and her teacher is there, and her teacher charges $5 an hour for instruction, but Harriet has her own. She has her own little shop in her basement, and it's fully equipped. And some time ago, I guess maybe about a year or two ago, I was asked to introduce a, I'm trying to think of his name, he's from Philadelphia, and he oversees the Reformed congregations, I suppose, in Western Pennsylvania, and I was to introduce him. He was going to talk about Josephus, and he had this book. It was about quite a big book, and it was in awful condition. And being a beginner, and you know, this saying, fools rush in where angels fear to tread, I said, well, give it to me, and I'll take it to bookbinding. And of course, Dr. Freehoff thought I had a lot of chutzpah to offer. But anyway, it was Harriet who has, as I said before, a fully equipped workshop who guided me through this whole experience. And it just was a wonderful experience. So as everything else, you learn by doing. And so that was one of the major things that I did in bookbinding. And
do you get involved in fancy bindings? Are you taking ordinary bindings and replacing them with fancy leather?
Well, I'll show you a few of the things that I did. Now, in the class also is Molly Bennett, who has been with Dr. Freehoff from the very beginning, and I think of her as my teacher and a very good patient teacher she is. So she has guided me through a number of experiences, and then I'll show you a few little things that under her guidance that I did. And then on Tuesday afternoon, Esther and I go to Temple, and we are involved in this program called Judaica, and a group is cataloging the books in the libraries of the Hebrew Institute, and I don't know whether they've done Tree of Life, but we got into the program a little later, and we're presently cataloging the books in the Temple Library. And we go every Tuesday afternoon. Now, what this will do is that what we're cataloging, all of this will be sent to Hillman Library, and it'll be photostated, so that anybody that is doing a paper on Judaica will know where he can get the material, whether he can get it, he'll find it in Tree of Life or Road of Sholem Library or which. So these are the two activities in which Esther and I are involved.
Was there no catalog of books in the Temple Library?
Well, there is a catalog of the books in the Temple Library, but these are... But we are cataloging these books, and everything is alphabetized, and as I said, they'll make a photostatic copy of each, whichever way they're going to do it, and then that'll go to Hillman, and is this too strong,
no.
Natalie?
No.
How about you, Elmer? I don't think we need to bother with pads either, but I don't know what they can do. You know, I just dreaded this.
It's fun to
a lot of people.
Well, it isn't so bad, you know, that. I just felt that, oh, I could be doing it. I wouldn't be able to do it. Oh. Ed, you must be starving.
No, I'm not starving.
Okay. How about some baked nut bread?
No, thank you.
Well, you want the light on? No, we can put it on.
Oh, we're fine. We're plenty
yeah.
light.
Mm-hmm.
That's
fine.
Sunny day. Can you tell us more about your retirement activities, besides bookbinding and the cataloging?
Well, we do marketing.
Doesn't everybody?
Well, you write to the blind.
Well, yeah, that was important.
Start over and tell us about that.
Well, as I said, that since our mother had lost her eyesight, I felt that... I would like to work with the blind. And so the first person I worked with was a girl who was getting her master's at the university, and in English. And of course, she had a little bit of sight, not too much. And I also, in addition to reading to her, the more important thing that I did for her was to show her how she could develop an idea more fully. First of all, helping her to research material, and then showing her how she could develop her ideas more fully, and then the writing to vary her sentence structure and different writing effects that would strengthen the content of her papers. And she eventually got her master's degree, and then she went on to the University of Illinois, and she presently has received her PhD, and she sent me a clipping that appeared in the paper, and of course it was a tremendous achievement for her, not having any sight. So we're in touch with each other. Now the other girl with whom I'm very close, Barbara DeCenzo, has no eyes at all, and she wears glass eyes for cosmetic reasons. And she was going to, she had been to a junior college, and then she was at Point Park, and the one thing in Barbara's favor is that she comes, her father was a very successful, very wealthy businessman, and so she had opportunities that the average person doesn't have. First of all, in spite of the fact that she was blind, she went to a girls' camp somewhere in the New England states, and she learned to row a boat and to canoe and paddle a canoe, and then she went to a junior college and then came to Pittsburgh, and she was at Point Park. And someone had told me, oh, she was going to Europe with a group, and she was going to see Macbeth at the Memorial Theater in Stratford, Shakespeare Memorial Theater. And so I was asked to read the play to her and explain it and so on. And of course, that play I know backwards and forwards. So, and from the middle and everywhere. And so she said before she left, when I come back, would you work with me? And I said, I certainly would. And so we have kept in very close touch. And she went on and went to Western Michigan, and she got her master's degree there, and then trained in rehabilitation and trained at the Veterans Hospital, Heinz Veterans Hospital in Chicago. Presently, she is working at a rehabilitation center in Detroit. She's an instructor there, and she's coming, she's been there for 2 years, and I think this is interesting to mention, that Mellons are subsidizing blind people to use a machine called the Opticon, where they see through the fingertips. And the machine costs $5,000, but if you took this course and there was a time limit, you only had to pay $500. And she has that Opticon, which she uses.
and I always remember, we do, that how thrilled she was for the first time to see her name in print.
Under whose auspices did you link up with these students?
With the blind.
Yeah. Who sponsors the reading to the blind?
Well, I really don't. It wasn't exactly through Temple, because they, you know, they type, do the big type for the blind. And I suppose there is a committee of people who read to the blind. Now, if that, maybe that's under, I don't know whether that's under the auspices of Temple. I really don't know. I don't think it's Temple.
Are you reading to anyone now?
No, I don't. I haven't read to anyone for a long time, for quite some time, I would say. And because I've become involved in, you know, in other things. But these two girls that I mentioned particularly, the first person I worked with was a young man who was operated on in his, he had a tumor, I guess. And he, at Harvard, this operation was done. I don't know, Harvard Hospital or where. He came back, this young man was from West Virginia, and he was getting his master's at Pitt. And I don't know how, somebody asked me if I would read to him. And then he told me he was recuperating from this serious operation. And when Kennedy was shot, he sat up and wanted to see, and his eye, the sight went. And from then on, he was blind, totally blind, and he was very bright. He was at the university getting his master's. He was married to a sighted girl. They hadn't been married very long, and he was the first person that I worked with. And then I continued. Now, with Joy Dennis, who just got her PhD, it was more interesting for me, because I helped her with her to research for material for her papers, and also to show her how to organize her material and how to develop ideas.
Are you doing anything else?
And I'm not. Then with Barbara DeCenza, and as I said, she was going to on this tour to Europe, and one of the places she was going to Memorial Theater to see the play Macbeth, and I read that. But we have kept up a constant relationship, and even though she's working at the Detroit Center, she will call, and we'll keep in contact. But I'm the only one in this family that she addresses as Miss Hartz. It was Jeanette, it's Esther, it was Mick. And they said, why can't you say? And she says, I cannot do that. So she calls me Miss Hartz. And
I guess you were her teacher.
So I suppose. Well, she is. She's been at this center for 2 years, and she's coming back, and she wants to have her own apartment, and she wants to continue to take work at the university. And so this financially, she can do anything she wants to do. So if this is what she wants, she's been at that rehabilitation center for about 2 years. And she feels she wants to make a change.
Are there any other regular activities that you participate in?
Well, as I mentioned, the book binding, yeah. And of course I joined that particularly to come in contact with Dr. Freehoff, who entertains you when he comes. He's with all sorts of stories and jokes and just to be in his presence is really something. And then the girls are really awfully nice and very helpful. And as I said, Harriet is, she's pretty pro, I would say.
Can we take a big jump backwards now, in time, that is? What was the South Side like when you were growing up there?
Well, I don't know what to say about it, because all of our interests were really not there, and our friends were not there. So it was kind of a temporary period in our lives, because we were still in school or beginning college, and so it there were a few families that would visit us, and they weren't Jewish, and we became, you know, friends, but not permanent friends.
What was the ethnic ethnic makeup of the neighborhood that you lived in?
Well, I guess it was Germans, Lithuanians, Polish, but it was a very superficial kind of relationship. You know, I mean, we weren't friends with any, because our interests were always in the temple and the activities in the temple. And then, of course, we were at school at the time. So there wasn't anyone over there with whom we were, we can say that this is a friendship that continued, you know, from the early years.
But wasn't there...
The Solovs had a... Now, they had a furniture store that wasn't too far from our store.
Were there other...
And,
were there other Jewish students in the, at South High School while you were there?
Very, very few. There were very few.
Did this...
I wouldn't even know to mention a name now. I couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Were there any... Did this result in any problems as far as you were concerned to be the...
No.
The one
not,
few?
No, not at all. I do remember that in one of my classes was a Leonora Allen, and it was, I guess it was called Expressional English, and there was a Mrs. Camel, a Miss Camel, who eventually married the chemistry teacher, and that Esther took chemistry, and she was very fond of him, Mr. Reinhardt, and in that class, well, in the class that I was in, Mrs. Campbell's class, or Miss Campbell then, was a Leonora Allen. And eventually, Leonora Allen became the principal of the junior school at Alderdice. And a very, very fine person. Now, I guess I should mention, too, that in addition to Miss Riddle and Miss Roop, they are my friends today, friends of the family, and also Charlotte Beechler, who taught history, and Charlotte was on a world trip. I think she planned it herself, and she'd get off the ship in different places where the inhabitants were, you know, they were natives. And on this world cruise, she met a gentleman by the name of Roy Brooks. And he was trying to tell her one day on the boat that Australia is divided into so many parts. And he says, and they were arguing, he said, wait, I'll get the map. And she said, sit down. I don't ever want to see a map again. And she never told him that she had been teaching. Now, another friend of ours, a very good friend today, is Nancy Montgomery. Now, she is a very, very dear, close friend. And we see, she lives at University Square with her brother. And her brother's wife is in a nursing home. She's get better. And Nancy and Charles are very good friends, and we visit them, and we celebrate certain occasions together, and they come here. And I, now Miss Riddle and Miss Ruth live together now, but we see them occasionally, but I'm not as close to them as I am to Nancy.
Where did you go to religious school? Or did you go to religious school?
To Lord of Shalom, even when we lived on the south side. And so that's where we went. And when I, Rabbi Levy was still living, and then and once he patted me on the cheek, and I thought that I'd been touched by a heavenly being. I never forgot that. And Esther was confirmed there, but I had been confirmed in Altoona, but I attended the class here in Pittsburgh, but I didn't go through the ceremony because I'd been here once before.
So you went just to the confirmation year class
that's
here.
That's right. But then she was confirmed there, and my brother Nick, he was confirmed there.
Did you have other associations with the temple in the years after your confirmation?
After, in later years, I taught at the religious school, and I taught ninth grade, and there were three sections, and Fanny Pittler, Mrs. Pittler, taught one section, Mary Wilson taught one section, and I taught the third section. And Rabbi Kagan was the Rabbi Kagan was the Dr. Freehoff's first assistant, and he had charge of the religious school. And we complained about the textbook that we had to use, Miriam and Fanny and I, and he said, Rabbi Kagan said, write your own textbook. I said, write our own textbook. And he said that I was lazy. But eventually, we would meet two and three times a week. And my mother, I think, thoroughly enjoyed those meetings because we would meet here. And we would call from different sources and then present the material. And I suppose eventually that was to have been a book, but it never became a book.
What was the subject?
Well, it was ninth grade, and we were teaching, and we were supposed to use that Levenger book, and it was as old as the hills, and so I guess it was... It was a general history, and then the emphasis, then we were able to get hold of a magazine that dealt with modern problems, and we drew from different sources, but that's what it was. It was sort of a whole review of from the beginning up to modern times, which was much too much for... years
were. Yeah. How many years, how long did you teach at the religious school?
Oh, I don't know. I taught for a good many years. And another thing, when Rabbi Kagan was there, each teacher had to be in charge of an assembly program. And each time that it was my turn, I would write a one-act play. And and I would do that. And I remember once there was a popular song, The Music Goes Round and Round, and I took that as the theme about nice little things you could do for other people, so that goes round and round. But at any rate, Louise Blumenthal was in that, I remember. And Louise Markovsky was in one of the little plays. She was a little little tot at the time, and just an adorable little girl.
As a college student or as a teacher, did you feel that being Jewish put you in an odd position? Was the teaching profession open, thoroughly open to Jewish teachers at the time you started?
Well, I don't think there were that many, but I had no experience or never felt that